The two covenants. Last week, just kind of looking, I don't know whether you got the last week's outline with you, just kind of looking at it, we looked at the old covenant and the new covenant, the type covenants. That a covenant is an agreement between, an agreement by two or more parties to do or refrain from doing some act. Some of them are conditional covenants or agreements, some are unconditional. The old covenant was agreement between God and a nation, God and Israel. New covenant is between God and individuals, you and me. Jesus said the whole world was would be those that he died for on the cross. The old covenant, we discussed this last week. We also discussed the Ten Commandments because a lot of people feel today that we still live under the Ten Commandments. A lot of Christians. And I don't know why. Well, I do have a problem. Because in the Ten Commandments, you have one in there that says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Now, the principle is carried forward into the New Testament, but the day of the week is not carried forward into the New Testament. And to me, it's obvious, and it's straightforward that a lot of things in the New Testament happen on the first day of the week. Christ was raised on the first day of the week. Our church was established on the first day of the week. Early Christians met on the first day of the week to take the Lord's Supper, Acts 20 and verse 7. And, they gathered together to take up contribution, to giving, the gathering of the contribution in Corinth, 1 Corinthians 16, 1 and 2. And throughout the book of 1 Corinthians, we see that they were coming together. And the only day that we see the early church in secular history coming together was on the Lord's Day was the first day of the week. They went from house to house, and then they came together for quite some time, probably about every day. I don't know when Wednesday nights caught on. They probably caught on just because they were simply in the middle of the week to kind of help us to make it through the week and to have that fellowship with one another. Okay, with no further ado, we'll get to this typed outline. I've got a little bit more notes on another outline, but I think I'm just going to follow the typed outline again, because you will have less to say if I do it that way. And then we may switch over to this this two covenant outline, but I won't spend quite as much time on it. We'll just see when I get there what I stick to what I'm saying. Kind of give you a general idea of what I intended that to be, and you can retain it and refresh your mind as you're thinking about it from time to time as we study, of course, the Old Law and from the Old Testament, as we study the book of Hebrews especially, and as we maybe deal with it in our own thinking as to where does the Old Law fit into the picture. It fits into the picture, but it has a particular purpose for a particular time. The Old Law is not synonymous with the Old Testament, or what we call the Old Testament. The Old Testament is a book of books for 39 books, 27 in the New Testament, I believe, I remember from teaching kids. You know, we don't usually teach adults that because as adults we don't want to learn it. But anyway, it's 39, 27. But all those books are not the law. They're books of history. They're books of poetry. They're, you know, different types of books. Prophets, stories of, for instance, of Jonah. That's not the law as such. It was during the period of the law, but most people think, some people think otherwise, think it was earlier. But anyways, we'll the passing of the old covenant. Let's look down to verse 3. Let's look back in Judges. Purpose is to study the relationship of the two covenants to God's people in two separate time periods. So we know that there were two covenants, two agreements that God had with his people. And last week we studied about the old law, that it was a covenant between an agreement between God and the nation of Israel and the nation of Israel only. It was also a national law, civil law, given at Mount Horeb Mount Sinai, and when the children of Israel were exiting Egypt. They'd been under Egypt's rule for about 400 or so years, and consequently, they needed more than just moral guidance and ceremonial law, things to do in their religion. They needed a civil law. There were approximately, we know there were around 600,000, I believe, men, fighting men, 600,000 men, and likely about 2 million people. So you're talking about a city about the size of Rome in the time of Christ. 2 million people is about twice the size of Nashville, too, isn't it? Nashville, Davidson County. And so we're talking about quite a few people. And Moses had to deal with that, you know, and finally getting his judge, the various people set up, and Aaron and the priest and all that. But there was more going on than just people looking at Ten Commandments and trying to observe them. So the passing of the Old Covenant. Look at Jeremiah 31. We read it, I believe, two or three weeks ago, but let's look at it now. Jeremiah here, it prophesies of a new covenant, and he gives some characteristics, some things about that new covenant in this scripture. This is quoted a couple of times over in the book of Hebrews. We've studied that on Sunday morning. Jeremiah 31, beginning with verse 31. So it's kind of easy to remember if you don't forget it, right? 31:31. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant. New covenant. That means there was an old covenant, but there's going to be a new one with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt. Wonder what covenant that was. We can figure that out. Okay, yeah. Onward and upward, which my covenant they break, although I was a husband unto them, saith the Lord. But this, and they were still under the covenant, the old law at this time is Jeremiah's writing. So he's looking out there into the future. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my law in their inward parts, write it in their hearts, will be their God, they shall be my people. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they shall know me. From the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity. Ah, that's something you've been added. I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember it no more. That's new. I will remember their sin no more. Jeremiah 31. All right, what's it saying? Let's look to this separate sheet now. I don't know whether we're going to try to quit about a quarter till or so, right near there. So we'll see where we get. If we don't get down to the bottom part of this typed outline, so be it. Most of it's covered in this page anyway, in one way or the other. All right, let's look at the left-hand side. That's the Red Sea. I didn't color it, sorry. But that's the Red Sea. Mount Horeb is that little bump. See there, that's Sinai. So after they crossed the Red Sea, it wasn't long before the children of Israel got into the area which the Mount Sinai was. This was approximately 1,500 years. See how I put that straight up at the top, right above it. 1,500 years before Christ, approximately. Now, we read about this law, this first covenant, Deuteronomy 5, 1 and 2, 1 through 3. That's hard to say. It's easier to say 1, 2, 3 than 1 through 3. Try it. God made a covenant with it, Chapter 4, 13 says that. Chapter 9, verses 9 and 11 of Deuteronomy also say it. But this covenant was made with whom? Well, within those first three verses of Deuteronomy, it says with Israel. Just with them. Not with their fathers even. It wasn't, the next point is not with their fathers, chapter 5 and verse 3 of Deuteronomy. It was made with them. Now, with their descendants, yes, their descendants, but not with those preceded them. Now, Jews were really the chosen of God under the old law. They had to be born a Jew, though. That was a primary thing, at least at that time. By physical birth, they became a child of God. Now, if we contrast that to Christianity, or compare it to Christianity, we become a child of God, not by physical birth. So we're older. Consequently, we can be taught, and we are taught, before we are born again, spiritually. So, in the middle of that outline up near the top, you see Law of Moses, in parentheses. First Covenant. Thank you, I'll be able to see that. See it on mine. Number one says, brother. They were a brother. They were brothers. Brother Jews, you might say. Born into the family of God. And then they became believers. I would just imagine you had a lot of Jews that weren't, well, we know that they died in the wilderness because of unbelief. That means they were not believers. Now, they had to be taught. They had to be taught to believe. They were already children of God. That didn't mean they were pleasing to God necessarily, and what they did, they weren't until they became believing Jews. Until they were old enough to believe and to understand and to follow God, they were taught in order to do that. So in Christianity, we're not born a child of God. Well, some people say that we're all God's children. Well, not the way that I'm talking about it. Not as far as being saved, not as far as becoming a Christian. We're born into the family of God by a spiritual birth. By spiritual birth, we're born. That was discussed by Nicodemus with Jesus when he came by night, John 3 and verse 5 and following. He said that he knew that Jesus was a teacher, can't come from God because he couldn't do the signs and miracles that he did, except God be with him. And then Jesus talked to him about a spiritual birth. But we're new creatures according to 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17. We're new creatures in Christ. So we're born, but we have to be taught before we're born spiritually. See? And so that's why that wording back there in Jeremiah 31, it says, this covenant, verse 33, says, I'll make with this covenant with the house of Israel. After those days, I will put my law in their inward parts, write it in their hearts, and will be their God. And they shall teach no man no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord. That was these Jews doing this because, see, once we're born into the family of God, we've already been taught to the extent that we become children of God. We're taught. You might have to read that and reread it, or you may have gotten a long time before I did. As far as to understand what he's saying there, but there's a bit of difference. In Jeremiah 31, 31 through 34, down the center of the page on this beautiful handwritten outline, number one says, God will make a new covenant. That's one of the things he says in this reading. Not according to the old one. So it won't be like the old one. It will differ. He's going to write it on their hearts. It's going to be more of a heartfelt of religion. Remember Jesus in going in the Sermon on the Mount and talking about some of the things under the law and the Ten Commandments. You know, you heard that thou shalt not kill. Well, Jesus taught that you shouldn't even hate. See? And I would imagine that was taught somewhere in the law too, that you shouldn't hate your brothers. And you should love your brethren. I know that was there. Love your neighbors yourself. But he was saying, I won't take that, thou shalt not commit adultery. He said, you can't even do it in your heart. He said, you're thinking about it to the extent of doing it. getting involved that way, he says, is a sin. So he got more down to the heart of the matter. The law of Christ, faith comes by hearing. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Every creature, every person is involved. He said, will not, number four under Jeremiah 31, 31 through 34 is, will not teach brothers to know the Lord. Because in order to become a brother, we already know the Lord. Whereas the Jews, born a child of God, it didn't matter how many times they'd be born a child of God, they still didn't know anything until they were taught and became believers. See, they were, even though they were already a child of God. We don't become a child of God until we're taught. They were children of God and then taught. That makes sense. All right, so the old law, though, was done away in Christ. The first covenant was done away. Let's go back to the first page, the outline, typed outline. Go back to the Roman numeral 3, characteristics of the new covenant. Jesus came to fulfill the first. We'll mention some of these briefly. Remember what Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, because people were saying, why what you're saying, you're trying to do away with the law. You know, you're just going against what the law is saying. And he said, no, I came not to destroy the law, but I came to fulfill the law. In Galatians 4 and chapter 4 said he would come in the fullness of time. This, the seed promise of Galatians 8, that to Abraham that through his seed all nations of the earth be blessed, which is found in, Genesis 22. It's down in my outline somewhere. Genesis 22 verse 18, the seed promise. And there's a promise that through, Abraham all nations be blessed in Genesis 12, and verse 3. I had to close my eyes to find that. That's down in the middle, down under the Gospel of Christ section. But the next point under Jeremiah 31, 31 through 34 on our typed outline, the Holy Spirit declared that the first had been fulfilled and taken away. If we read Ephesians 2, 14 and through 16, let's look at that one. We won't look at Colossians, but, well, let's look at Colossians. It says basically the same thing or somewhat the same. Colossians 2, 14 and 15. Do not follow me in my talking. Just follow along in that line. Look it up. Don't pay attention to me. Do your own thing. I've done that before when somebody's preaching. I didn't like the way that the lesson was going. I looked up scriptures and made it go the way I wanted it to go. All right. I shouldn't be telling you that. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances, that's Christ and going to the cross, that was against us, which was contrary to us, took it out of the way, nailed it to the cross. Well, that couldn't be speaking of anything except the law, could it? Having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Colossians 2, 14, 15. Also Ephesians 2, 14, 16, if you want to read that. The old law is not now enforced according to Hebrews 8 and 6, and also Hebrews 10, 9 and 10. The second could not have been established until the first was removed. Let's look at Hebrews 7 and verse 12. Book of Hebrews. Chapter 7, verse 12, says, for the priesthood being changed, there is made of necessity a change also of the law. It's talking about the priesthood being changed to Christ's priesthood, to the Melchizedek priesthood, but with Christ being the priest, only one, that with that change, the Levitical priesthood was no longer necessary, and with the changing of the priesthood that was under the law, there's no need for the law, he says. Let's look at Hebrews 9:15 through 17 also on that subject. 9:15 through 17. And for this cause, he's the mediator of the New Testament, or New Covenant, that by means of death for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the First Testament. Those people under the First Testament that were, quote, having their sins roll forward were really, their sins were looking forward to the time Christ would come and to take care of that. That they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. For where a testament is, there must also a necessity be the death of the testator, or testator, I think it's testator. But anyway, that's a lawyer's talk, really. If a person got a will or a testament, remember back in high school we had the last will and testament. Well, that really wasn't a last will and testament. That's just something we folks made up and stuck in an annual or yearbook. But here, the before will is official, so to speak, officially the way things are going to go, the person made out that will has to die. Because any time before death, that will could be changed. That testament could be changed. And so that's what he's saying here. First, verse 17, for a testament is of force after men are dead. Otherwise, it is no strength at all while that the testator liveth. So that's Hebrews 9:15-17, that the old law the new law was established and the first had to be removed. Romans 6:15, we studied recently in our Wednesday evening class, as Paul said, we're no longer under law, but we're under grace, he said. We're under grace. Is he talking to, speaking specifically in the text to the Jews there in Rome? We're dead to the law, he said, in Romans 7, verse 4. I'll not look at 7:7. And the new covenant, we mentioned again down there, the gospel of Christ, we mentioned again, Jeremiah 31, 31 through 34, the new covenant was spoken of by Jeremiah. And one thing, as we come into the new covenant, Jesus said before his ascension and right before he gave his great commission to the apostles, according to Matthew 28, verse 18, he says, all power, in one translation says, all authority has been given me on heaven and earth. And if all authority had been given to him, spiritual authority, religious authority, so to speak, there's no other authority to be spread around, is it? I don't have any authority as far as Christ's church is concerned, as far as God's will, as far as Christ's will is concerned. Nobody here on earth has any authority. Now, there's a lot of people that take authority, and they're taking it, and they're going to answer for it one of these days, because there's none to take. The word of God cannot be changed. The will of Christ and God cannot be changed. No matter how many popes arise and live and die, it just doesn't matter. All nations are included in the new covenant. Remember, Jesus said, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. All nations, I think it says in the book of Luke and then Mark. The new is the fulfillment of the promise made by God to Abraham. We mentioned that before. We mentioned Genesis 12 and 3 and 22:18, where Abraham was given the seed promise that in his seed all nations of the earth be blessed. That is quoted in Galatians 3:8 and in Galatians 3:16. Then Paul says there that when he says seed, it's not referring to seeds as of many, but seed, thy seed, which is Christ. So the fulfillment of the promise made to Abraham, bottom line, the fulfillment was in Christ. The fulfillment was in Christ. The promise made to Abraham was long before the law. The law was given to Abraham, I don't know, what was it, grandkids or great-grandkids or great-great-great-grandkids, some way down the line. Israel or Jacob's, all his ancestors were given the law, but not to Abraham. Abraham was back before the law, and he's the one to whom the promise was given. And the promise went over and went into, was fulfilled in Christ. Under the new law, the gospel of faith, all are new creatures. Mentioned that while ago, 2 Corinthians 5:17. And many of the points or many of the commandments of the Old Testament, the Old Law, especially the Ten Commandments, nine of them are pretty well verbatim, not all maybe verbatim, but in the teachings of Christ. And that's why many people insist on the Ten Commandments being put up on courthouses and this and that and the other, and everybody fights for it. And many times, most times, it's not the Jews that are fighting for it. And the Ten Commandments in and of themselves only apply to the Jews. It's Christ's law. It's Christ's teachings that apply to us. Now, he does incorporate much of that teaching in his teaching. But nevertheless, he doesn't call them the Ten Commandments. Our conclusion. How about that? I got there. Now somebody, Brother Keeble was such a good preacher that one time he said in conclusion, somebody said, "Don't conclude! Don't conclude!" They want to hear him preach some more. But I didn't hear anybody say that, so I'm going to go right into it. Okay. It's going to be a conclusion. Okay, in the New Covenant, the Christian comes to God. The Christian must make his choice to come to God. On the Old Law, God made the choice. He didn't choose them because they were greater than any other people. He chose them because he just decided to choose them. He had favor for those particular people, and he wanted a seed promise to come through that group, that the remnant might be around. New Covenant are found the terms of pardon or forgiveness for sins and conditions for fellowship with God and for Christ. And we read a number of scriptures. We read those and we refer to those before where the Great Commission is in Matthew, Mark, and in Luke. And if we want to see the examples of conversions, we just have to go to Acts 2, 8, and then 2 times 8 is 16, and 16 plus 2 is 18. 2, 8, 16, and 18. That's, I already had them remembered or memorized, but I thought up that little tricky way there anyway. My mind works in mysterious ways. It's wonders to not perform. In this new covenant, promises are made by God to those who adhere to his teachings, who believe in Christ and obedient. The word belief many times, in the New Testament, carries with it the idea of obedience. If we look in and around the use of the word belief, we'll find that it includes obedience. And of course, a lot of scriptures on the fact that we are as Christians to obey God and obey Christ. It's guaranteed. The promises we have is guaranteed by the blood of Christ and guaranteed by the power of God that raised his Son from the grave. How do we know? As the song used to say, the Bible tells us so. We stand on the promises of God. Appreciate your attention, and we'll close with those remarks. If there's anyone here tonight not a Christian, why not come to Christ? Confessing Jesus as the Son of God, repenting of your sins to be baptized for the forgiveness of those sins, to rise from baptism to walk in newness of life. As a Christian, if you desire prayers, wish to rededicate your life to Christ, you have that opportunity to do that tonight as Jerry leads us in this song that's been selected. Shall we stand?